This is not the time to not be connected. This is not the time to live like an orphan. This is a time to live like a son or a daughter, connected in a family, knowing your purpose, knowing your place, involved in the body of Christ, your life submitted to spiritual authority, growing in the grace of God, that we might take the nation.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
All right, open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, or initialize your electronics. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the body. We thank you for your plan in the earth. There is no plan B. The body of Christ is your plan. Father, we thank you that it's a brilliant plan, and that God, you have placed all the pieces in place, that if we will seize what you've given to us, we can do everything you've called us to do. So God, give us revelation of our place in the body of Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, you probably heard these texts before. We're beginning our series on fivefold ministry. Let me just begin by saying there's no such thing as fivefold ministry like it's a doctrine. It's commonly referred to as fivefold ministry based largely upon this scripture. There are people who try to make an entire movement around that. Here's the reality. God is not the God of chaos. He's not the God of confusion. He's the God of order. You know, don't get super spooky about everything. Listen, God is mysterious. He does do things that confound our minds. He uses foolish things to confound wise people. But the Holy Spirit, even when he's being mysterious, is also very practical. When Jesus wanted to multiply food for 5,000 people, he told them to sit down in groups of 50. Don't get out your numerology chart to figure out what the significance of 50 was. He just wanted some aisles so everybody could get some food. Amen? So God's practical. So he set government in his church. He gave specific gifts, the Bible tells us, to the church for specific reasons to equip us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in the earth. And I say this because it's important that you understand these truths, that you understand the importance of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if I'm just telling you about all these offices if you don't place any value on what they have to offer. Listen, a church that just kind of goes its own way has produced a culture that just kind of goes its own way. Amen? So we need to get ourselves in order. Amen? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church: apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Some people say there's four pastors and teachers as one gift. Now let me go on. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So why did he give you pastors and teachers and evangelists? Like he gave you plumbers and electricians. If your pipes are busted, call a plumber. If it's spiritual, call your pastor. No, that's not why he did it. He did it so that we could equip you to operate and function in your calling, your dream, and your gifting. I've said this often. I'll continue to say it often. A pastor is no substitute for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can help you in large part by virtue of my many mistakes. I can help you to not make mistakes. I can help you to find out how to learn to hear the voice of God. I can teach you principles for operating in faith, but you have to pursue the relationship. You have to pursue the relationship. And when you understand how clever God is, you see, he asks you sometimes just to obey. He tells you in Hebrews to obey your pastor. That's negative language for an American. We have a giant statue that's in tribute to rebellion in the harbor in New York. We don't like that, tell me what to do. We have a Declaration of Independence. But God tells us just to submit to authority. He tells us to do things sometimes, even though we don't understand, because in the kingdom, you better do it if you ever want to understand it. God's not going to explain himself to you all the time. He's not. He's going to say, do this, so this will be that. Do this and do this because I'm the Lord. And if you've ever had kids, don't tell me you've never done it. Go do that. Why? Why? What do kids say? Why? What do immature Christians say? Why? You know, you need to, why? Why do I need to do that? Tell me where it says I have to do that. Why? Because I said so. Now you find out if they're a mature Christian. When you tell somebody, you need to do that because I told you to do it, if they hit you, they're probably not a mature Christian. Most of them won't hit you, though, because they feel religious, so they'll just leave, right? Well, you've told your kids, do this. Why? Because I told you to do it. I'm not going to explain myself every time. You're going to honor my authority. That's what you tell your kids. And then as your kids do it, then you come back and explain to them. Now, you see how well this worked when you did that? Now, do you understand why I ask you to do it? Yes, I do. But I don't explain it until after they do it. I'm not negotiating my kids. I wasn't. I was leading them, right? So God gave us for this equipment. Then we will what? Be no longer like immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. That's the goal. I could just tell you the goal of every pastor is to see everybody in their congregation find their place in the body and grow into the image of Jesus Christ, walking in love, walking in faith, encouraging, not fault-finding, not recording faults, not rehearsing hurts, but moving forward in freedom and actively involved in making disciples. Jesus said that he commanded us to make disciples. When are you a disciple of Christ? When you enter into the process of making disciples. Until that, you're a neophyte. You're just a newbie on the block, and that's okay. If you come to Christ here and you're brand new and all you want to do is lay on the front, come up and worship. That's fine. Just get in the milk of the word and just grow in God and be free and let God heal you. We're not in a rush here to turn everybody into uber super Christians. But you just start working on that relationship. But at some point, we're going to take you into the meatier matters of the law and we're going to teach you how to walk like a man or woman of God. And that's what we want. That's what we desperately need. Jesus said, Paul said this, he said, listen, you just walk in such a way that when they make fun of you, your life refutes what they're doing. That's our goal. Our life is the gospel. We live the gospel. I like when people talk about us. I like when they say horrible, horrible things about us. The worse, the better. I like when they say we have two heads because quickly people realize, you know what, that's not true. It's big, but it's only one, you know? Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. It takes fivefold ministry to produce a mature Christian. Why do you say that? Because you're in fivefold ministry? No. Because Jesus gave us gifts for what? To make mature Christians. Therefore, it takes all these gifts in operation. If one gift operates to an excess at the expense of another gift, the body suffers. If the pastoral gift is overly exerted, what's the pastoral gift about? Equipping, it's about feeding, caring for the sheep, making sure they're okay and safe and protected, but not so protected that they never go to battle. You know, our goal here to get healthy is that we have a place to get healthy, to go fight the good fight of faith and destroy the works of darkness. We're not just the love boat. We're not just a hospital ship. We're not just on a cruise. We actually have a destination. And that destination is revival and reformation in the United States of America that will spread around the world like a great fire to see the largest harvest of Christians coming into the kingdom of God in the history of mankind. In Jesus' name. That's why we're here. That's why I get up in the morning. If all we got is just going to sing a couple of hallelujahs, take me now, Lord. Life ain't that great if there's no gospel to be lived out. So God's got this. He's got this plan. Each of us has a unique function. Every gift from the Father, apostles, prophets, teachers, etc., has a unique function that is necessary. That body principle, you hear that, that connection principle. This is not the time to not be connected. This is not the time to live like an orphan. This is a time to live like a son or a daughter, connected in a family, knowing your purpose, knowing your place, involved in the body of Christ, your life submitted to spiritual authority, growing in the grace of God, that we might take the nation. So everybody has a unique function in the body as gifts is concerned, and each one of you has a unique function in this body. Well, I don't like the part. I don't like this part, and I don't like that part. Somebody got a knife? If you've got a part of your body you don't like, bring it up here and I'll cut it off. Is that an option? We all have a place. Well, listen, what I do in with my internet browser and in my office at night is my business. No, it's not. You know, if Tom gets an infected little toe and he doesn't take care of it, he could die. Everything in the body is connected. Every system in the body is connected. When someone doesn't show up, it matters. We're going to go stand at Life Chain. What difference does it make if we go stand out on the corner? I don't want to look like an idiot. Man, I'd never get out of bed in the morning if I was afraid of that. We stand. We don't flip people off. We don't get angry. We hold up signs for girls who are pregnant to let them know that we have support ministries for them, Embrace Grace and Life. Help me out. Lifeway. Yes, thank you. We have, but we reach out. We stand for truth. We stand for truth. Somebody has to. Unfortunately, somebody's in our past didn't. So now it's been handed down to us, and the price is a little higher. The price will be even higher if we hand it down to our kids. My kids aren't going to pay for my mistakes if I can help it. So we all need to be involved. Everybody needs to be finding their place and doing their part. When one of us is sick, anything that's not connected to your body dies. Anything that's not connected to a body spiritually will die. I'm trying to tell you this because it's important that you value the gifts, not because I operate as a pastor, but because you've got to understand God wants to do something, and his way of doing that is going to involve these five spiritual giftings. These are all giftings. Anyone can operate in the gifting of a teacher. Denny can operate in the gifting of a teacher. He teaches at Encounters, and he teaches well. He operates in that teaching gifting, but he's not sitting in the office of a teacher. If you're pastoring, you're teaching. I'm teaching today, but I'm not a teacher per se, but I operate in the gift of teaching. And we all operate in those gifts liberally, but in some cases, God says, all right, I want you to sit in the office of this thing, and I really want to make this your life's emphasis. So this is how I want to use you to impact the most people. And if you're looking for what God wants to do in your life, I promise you, one of the hallmarks of that thing is it is going to affect a lot of people besides yourself. That's the way God thinks. We're concerned with our four and no more sometimes. Everyone in this room is his beloved kid, plus the several out there in the crack den somewhere. Those are still his beloved kids waiting to hear the good news. So God wants to do something that affects. I never forget hearing Pastor Keith share in South Carolina years ago. He said the first evidence of a covenant or a testament, a will, is that there's a third-party beneficiary. Somebody else is going to benefit from this covenant. Who's benefiting from Christ in your life besides you and your family? That's a good question to ask yourself. And then also, what do you see in our community that makes you angry? Pray about it. Begin to pray daily about it. God, do something about this. And then duck, because your prayers are going to come right back to you. And there's a reason why you're passionate about this. We're passionate people. Something's going to have our passion. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, or it's going to be the unborn, or it's going to be evangelism, or it's going to be community service, it's going to be the downtrodden, it's going to be world missions, but something's going to have our passion. I like fishing. I enjoy it a great deal. It keeps me from losing my mind, being able to go down and relax and just enjoy and de-stress. But listen, it's not my primary driving passion. I don't arrange the church around my fishing schedule. I arrange my fishing around the ministry schedule. My kids grew up deprived. They never got to play any kind of sports on Sunday. Can you see how desperately deprived they are? We need to find our gifting. Today we're going to talk about the apostolic. Five full minutes. This is just a little, a handy chart. The apostle is the thumb. The apostolic is something that gives the ability to grip. If you look in anthropology and sociology and biology, you'll see that animals with opposing thumbs are way up the food chain. Why are they way up the food chain? Because they have the ability to grasp something, to move something, to direct something. The apostolic is the governing influence that helps to work. You can't throw out any of these giftings. And a lot of times I see people form a pyramid. Well, I'm an apostle and you're under me because you're a prophet and the teacher here. And I don't believe that. I believe all these gifts are constantly working simultaneously and no one of them is any less important to the other. That's the whole body illustration that Paul taught us there. But the apostolic is important. If you have only pastoral, then pretty soon you have a slide going into the baptismal. You're baptizing in Perrier water. Everything is about you. You're trying to maximize your comfort, maximize what the benefits that church provides to you. When the apostolic is saying, hey, what about those people over there that have never heard the gospel? How can you be spending more money on pet food than you're spending on the Great Commission and say that you're engaged in the body of Christ? Out of every dollar that comes in, a dollar that comes into church, about a penny to two pennies goes to reaching other nations. And of those pennies, about one-tenth of one penny goes to unreached people groups. Do you see the priority? When the apostolic takes a back seat, there's abuses of the pastoral. We become too inwardly focused. If the apostolic becomes too overbearing, it damages the church because the sheep are moving too fast. Someone's not caring out for the sheep. They're so gripped by their compassion for the most dangerous thing you'll ever meet on the planet is a young prophet. Because a young prophet is damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. We're going, let's go. He's got everybody going on mission trips, even though they've never taken a family vacation in 3 years and their kids are starting to hate their guts. He's like, go, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. No, we gotta slow a little bit. There's a balance, you see that tension? Paul's saying, my work is done here. I've got to move on. And the pastor's going, your work is done. This one over here is in a divorce, and this one over here has got cancer, and this one, he's thinking of all the needs of the sheep. And the apostle's saying, yes, but what about the people who've never heard? And together, they're working together to get this thing done. The evangelist, the longest finger on your hand. It also became an obscene gesture to the body of Christ when evangelists went on television and just made fools of themselves. That is a lot of what brought this period of spiritual darkness in our life, was that presentation of the gospel as a self-centered, selfish, greedy, abusive, amoral institution. And if you look in history, this has happened every time there was a great falling away in societies. Whether you go all the way back to the Dark Ages, where the church, the Holy Church, was selling indulgences where you could pay to have an affair with your secretary and not go to hell. You could buy your relatives out of hell for money. It's history. I'm not trying to slam anybody. It's history. And we're no different. No church is any different. When you become inwardly focused, you've lost the gospel. God's heart is out there. He's always looking at someone else. And he's healing you as you're reaching out to others. Don't wait to get whole to do something. I shared this that I share with you guys. I said, I tell my church all the time, if you're on 5 Prozac a day, go find somebody who's on 6 and reach out because you're better off than somebody. And in trying to get somebody else healed, you're going to find healing for yourself. Seventh-day Adventism came out in our country at a period of spiritual awakening, and these guys got big movement going, and they went out and they began to say, okay, Jesus is coming back on this date. He's coming back. And they put this date out, and they put it in the papers, and they published it all over the place because people listened to what the church said back then. So they said that, so they put it in the papers, and Jesus didn't come. Oh, so I forgot the leap years. So I went and recalculated, came up with another date. Good news, Jesus didn't come. That happened 2 or 3 times, and you know what happened? And there's all these weird things are going on, and these excesses, and people are going, I ain't listening to this. It's ridiculous. These people don't even know what they're talking about. And you saw this huge moral decline. And then you saw the rise of higher reason, the Descartes and the God is dead, the Nietzsche's. And these people's idealisms, ideologies, Nietzsche was the primary inspiration of Adolf Hitler. Karl Marx was the primary influence of Joseph Stalin. And millions of people die. These ideologies that they toss around, we don't need this and we don't need that and socialism is good. They don't even teach Western civilization anymore in college. The only sin in American college today is to critique someone else's ideology because all ideologies are equal. No, they're not. Socialism, communism, these ideologies will eventually cost you your life. I lived in post-Soviet Russia right after the fall of the Soviet Union. Don't tell me how wonderful it is. Alcoholics laying in the street, everything broken. Kids coming home drunk, beating up their grandmothers. Listen. Anyway. It's important. These ideologies are important. It's important that we have sound teaching. It's important that evangelists, the longest finger, extends furthest from the hand, the expansion of the church. The evangelist is always thinking about boom, boom, boom. It's always looking at the expansion of the church. The pastor, the shepherding group, this is the ring finger. This is the one that makes people covenant and family. He works on bringing people together in relationship. My job for you is not to be Jesus for you. It's not to be a Christian for you. It's to help you get into a relationship with Jesus and with the body of Christ, to be rightly related, because when you're rightly related, you're going to grow into the fullness and maturity of the Lord. And just throw that one more, of course, the teacher. Now, the teacher, it's the smallest finger, but it brings balance to everything else. We need good, sound teaching. But what is the purpose of good sound teaching if we have no apostolic oversight to direct what we do with that knowledge, if we have no pastoral care to keep us in right relationship with Jesus so that we're doing what we learn in love and not speaking out of head knowledge, that we're operating in faith and love toward a lost and dying world? We start out here and believe as believers. We got lots of choices, and we have very little holiness. We're still loose, you know what I mean? As we grow, we become disciples. You see, the further up the chart you go in the Lord, the fewer options you have, voluntarily. I voluntarily don't do this, and I voluntarily don't do that. Why? Because Paul said, all things are legal to me. I'm not under the bondage of the law anymore. But all things are not expedient. What's going to build the kingdom? I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Servants, they've moved beyond disciples now. They're serving. They found their place of service, and then they come up into leadership. Influence, responsibility, visibility, and integrity. Takes years to achieve it and moments to lose it. We've all seen the results when someone loses their integrity. God needs men and women today, full of the Holy Spirit and fire, living a godly life. Loving, serving, influencing. This nation is perishing for the lack of a viable demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's us. It's us. Apostle. What's an apostle? It really, the word is apostolos. It means a special messenger. Now, some definitions actually say a restricted group, limited. That's not from the Greek. That's just what dispensationalists opposed upon it. If when you speak about an apostolic, there's always some sending involved. It means sent one or sent envoy or sending out someone who sends someone out. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not for men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead. I like what Galatians 1:1 says in the message. I, Paul, and my companions in faith here send greetings to the Galatian churches. My authority for writing you does not come from any popular vote of the people, nor does it come through the appointment of some human higher up. It comes directly from Jesus the Messiah and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I am God commissioned. Ain't no man telling me what to do. Then your beeper goes off and you run over to get a dollar. We need to go stand for the unborn. Tell me what to do on my Sunday afternoon, preacher. I got things to do. I got to bathe my coon hounds, you know. Romans 1:1. This is a letter from Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news. Chosen by God and sent. Ephesians 1:1. This is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ. Timothy 1:1. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, appointed by the command of God, the Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostolic is always in the process of sending, and he's always being sent. We have apostolic oversight in this church to ensure sound government. This is a safe place to be in church, not for your dignity, not for your reputation, not for your comfort, but for concerning the damnation of your soul. This is a safe place to be because I have oversight. I gladly have oversight. I want oversight. I want men. I'm not asking you guys to do anything that I'm not doing myself. You understand? That's what walking together means. If you're in the mud, if you look down on my shoes, you're going to find some mud too. When you're in the mud, I'm in the mud. You're never alone. I mean, I can drop everything I'm doing and go to everybody's bobos, but you're never alone. Nobody's ever alone here unless they choose to be. We have a team of people who love here, a team of people who care, who will serve, who will be there for you. But you've got to connect to the body. You've got to connect. You've got to make that decision, that free will decision. I'm not hanging you over hell on a rusty thread. I'm saying, brothers, behold, I show you a better way. Submit your life to the body of Christ. Because, look, we submit our lives to all kinds of jacked up morons at work, don't we? You're thinking of a few right now. Come on. And we do it for money. I'm asking you to do this for love. Someone who does something for love is a mother or a wife. Someone who does it for money is a hooker. I want my life to be led by love. Not by how everything benefits me, but how everything benefits the body of Christ, how everything benefits the kingdom of God. You hear my heart? Is anybody confused by this? Apostolic is necessary to keep us on mission and in order. We have apostolic authority operating in our organization, in the NRP, Network of Related Pastors, and in this local church. We have apostolic government. We don't need any new sexy doctrine. We don't need any new intriguing teaching. We don't need to try to make the gospel palatable to everyone. We certainly don't want to be hostile, but we don't need to try to come up with a way to create a gospel that everyone can understand. We need to demonstrate a gospel that no one can deny. And for that to take place, God has already put the pieces in place. There's not a third New Testament coming out. There's not any new teaching that needs to take place. Total revelation for the will of the salvation and restoration of mankind is revealed in the books of the Bible from the New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. Everything we need to know is there. God set government in place. He set giftings in place, and he sent his Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You have a portion of that, and if you choose, you may have more of that. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues. Whether you do that or not, God is still expecting you to demonstrate a gospel that is not powerless. I'm so glad. You know, the day I pulled out of my house in La Place, Louisiana, when you pulled to that stoplight to go down Airline Highway, there was a sign there, mental health unit, big green sign. And I was so tired of being tormented. And I said, if God, if you don't do something in my life today, I'm going to go over there and check in. They can hang an IV on my behind, and I'm finished with this. I'm so glad that there was somebody in that back cane field back there named Rod Aguillard who wanted more of Jesus and was willing to say no to anything that would stop it. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was pastoring a small Baptist mission, 40 families, I think. And he said, I would lay in my office and praying and just beat my head against the floor in frustration. God, there has to be more than this. There has to be more than this. And someone came to him and introduced him to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He spoke in tongues. He began to get revelation. He got excited. Everyone but about 10 people left his church. They said, if you're going to teach this, we're leaving. You know what he said? Now look, I can just tell you, pastors don't like to see anybody leave unless they got a bomb strapped to them. And even then, they're trying to figure out if the way they can defuse the bomb and keep them on the rolls, okay? But please don't make me choose. There's no choice. And so he went from that, he had that Gideon's revival, went from a church of 100 to a church of 10, including his family. But 3 years later, he was a church of 500 up the road in a bigger building, million-dollar sanctuary built debt-free by a bunch of blue-collar workers who believed God. Was up to almost 1,000 people the day I drove by. Hilarious praise and worship. The front aisles packed with people just worshiping and dancing before the Lord and just crying out to God with all their might. I'm telling you, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. As I went by there, I literally turned into the thing and like, what am I doing? Scared me so bad, I pulled out and left. I went, still going to try to find that original church. I decided I was going to go try one more time. And then God took the name of the church away from me. I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden I couldn't remember where the ferry was. I couldn't remember where the church was. I couldn't remember anything. So I was cursing. I'm going home. F this. I've had enough of this. I'm just going home. You're not helping me at all, God. This big freaking deal, you know. And this hitchhiker steps out and to pick him up. So I just picked him up. It was a guy named Walter Gaines, black guy. He got in. He had a Bible in his hand. I said, where are you going? Walter told me later, he said, I thought I got in the car with a serial killer. I was really tormented. I'm sure my eyes, the lights were on and everybody was home, you know what I'm saying? And Walter, he said, I'm going to church. He said, where are you going? Like, I'm going out to a dark, abandoned field. No, I didn't. And a voice just spoke to me very clearly and said, go with him. I said, I'm going with you. He said, man, I just knew you were going to kill me. We got back in the car. We drove 6 miles up the road. And you know where we went? Back to Reserve Church. I pulled in there. Hell was screaming. I'm telling you, they were screaming. You can't have this one. He's mine. I started weeping when I pulled in the parking lot. People weren't in here going, kumbaya, my Lord. The presence of God was spilling out of that building, out into the streets. And I walked in the back door, and I'd never been to a charismatic church before. And man, they were in the height of charismania then. People brought their own instruments. They had like, there's like 100, 200, 300 tambourines in there, 7, 8 people with guitars. Up on the stand, I was expecting Sister Broadbottom to be on the organ. It was a piano. Two keyboards, a piano, there was somebody on a violin, there was guitars and bass and drums and saxophone, and man, it was blowing and going up in there. I thought I saw farm animals in there at first. I'm like, man, I'm in a barn dance or something. It was a hullabaloo going on in there. And my mind was going, you're outside of your mind. You don't need to be here. But something in my heart said, I gotta be here. This is my only hope. And I went and sat down, and Walter sat down and slowly slid about 10 chairs farther down. true story. He said, I don't remember too much. I just remember I sat down and it was like there was everything around me was a blur except one tunnel going up to this redneck preacher with real dark, spooky eyes. It was Brother Odd. I remember thinking, this is weird. And then Walter said that I started simulcasting with Brother Odd. I started speaking at the same time as he was speaking. That ain't normal, in case you're wondering. And then I kept grabbing the chair because it felt like weights were flying off of me, one after another. But this is all I heard. Son, I'm Jesus. I'm here. I'm here. This is where you're going to find me, here. Because I'd been looking into everything. I thought I'd tried Christianity. I did a denominational thing, and it didn't do nothing for me. It's bad when you can't find the truth anymore. But how many know God makes a way? He finds somebody who thinks about somebody besides themselves, and they make a way for you. I'm here. This God just kept telling me over and over, you don't have to go there. I'm here. This is where you are. So I kind of got pseudo back into my right mind, and they were having altar call at the end, and Brother Odd was praying for people. Also something I'd never seen before. What's he putting his hand on him for? And this is what I said. I said, well, obviously God's here, so I'm going to have to stay here while I get my God thing done. But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set that redneck preacher straight that he ain't getting none of my money and I ain't putting up with no foolishness. Cocky, right? So I marched up there and I got in that line. I'm ready, you know what I mean? And I got up to him and I picked my finger up like that and I fell on his chest and I wept like a baby. I had to run to suit. And I just wept and wept and I couldn't stop weeping. And then all them freaks started cheering. What's the matter with you people? I'm losing my mind up here. But I've made a lot of mistakes since then. But I was never the same that day because there was a small group of people who were pushing and pressing after God with all their heart, who embraced the fullness of the gospel, who embraced whatever scripture said was there. They didn't argue about it. They just said, God, I want more. I want more. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to do whatever Christ commanded me to do. And that little church in a cane field reached tens of thousands of people. Global Strategy Missions Agency was birthed out of that church. It was responsible for planting 25 churches in Russia, of whom we were a part. There are now 80-something churches, rehab centers, orphanages in Russia. They're all birthed out of one man who just said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Do you honestly think God only wanted one? He wants you to be that man, and he wants you to be that woman. Listen, we can change the nation, whether by many or by few. It starts when somebody says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.